Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. A statewide campaign to recall Governor Mike Dunleavy launches tomorrow. Alaska Public Media reports that organizers will begin gathering signatures in a multi-step process aimed at getting the question on a statewide ballot. Recall effort chair Mita DeWitt says under Alaska law, there are four specific criteria for recall.
We're going to be going with neglect of duties, incompetence, and lack of fitness.
DeWitt says volunteers looked at a number of actions by the Dunleavy administration over the last several months that could meet the legal requirements for a recall petition. Those include keeping a judgeship in Palmer open beyond a 45-day limit, using state funds for partisan advertisements online, accounting errors and budget vetoes, and striking money from the state court system over a ruling on abortion access. The Recall Dunleavy campaign is holding events tomorrow around the state, including in Fairbanks, to begin gathering over 28,000 signatures required for a recall petition application. A spokesperson for Governor Dunleavy did not immediately return a request for comment. The Fairbanks North Star Borough School Board has scheduled a special meeting to discuss a preseason high school football activity that nearly drowned three students. A district announcement says the Monday, August 5th meeting may include an executive session with an outside attorney to talk about possible legal exposure. Only cursory information has been provided about what happened at the Friday, July 26th West Valley High School football conditioning session at the University of Alaska Fairbanks swimming pool. District and UAF spokespeople have said that about 40 kids were in the water participating in a team-building exercise when three went under the surface and had to be rescued and resuscitated. One of the three remained at the hospital as of Monday. The August 5th school board meeting will be held at district headquarters downtown and start at 6 p.m. One person died in a head-on vehicle collision on the Parks Highway last night. An Alaska State Trooper report says 58-year-old Jürgen Kloss of Germany was killed when his vehicle hit a semi-truck near mile 95 before 8 last night. It says the truck's driver was not hurt, but that a passenger in Kloss's vehicle was airlifted to the hospital in Anchorage for evaluation. Three people are dead in a kayaking accident in Valdez. A City of Valdez release says the bodies of a 67-year-old woman, a 67-year-old man, and a 62-year-old man were recovered from Valdez Glacier Lake yesterday morning. It says the trio were from out of town and paddling an inflatable canoe-type boat in the lake, which stems from Valdez Glacier. All three were wearing life jackets, and their bodies were recovered from near the toe of the glacier. Local dispatch received a call about the bodies in the lake before 10 a.m. Tuesday. Release of their names is pending notification of family. The accident is being investigated. The University of Alaska Board of Regents voted 8-3 yesterday to move towards consolidating the entire UA system into a single accredited university. As Alaska Public Media's Wesley Early reports, it was one of several proposals Regents discussed during a meeting in Anchorage.
Governor Mike Dunleavy's budget cuts to the University of Alaska total about $136 million, or roughly 40% of state support. The plan Regents adopted is to reorganize the University of Alaska from three separate individually accredited universities to a single accredited university. UA President Jim Johnson endorsed the proposal. He says the new model would streamline curriculums and student services, as well as create a single college for each major field of study throughout the university system. Johnson says the plan saves money by eliminating a lot of administrative costs.
I think the essential functions, especially those that are academic and student-facing, yes, they need to stay out there in close proximity to students. But backroom functions, we don't need three or four different approaches, processes, systems to do lots of things that really don't add to the student experience.
A second proposal would have established a more cooperative consortium model for the university system while retaining the three universities. The three universities would make reductions to staff and faculty, administrative services, athletics, travel, and other budgetary items in order to meet those individual cuts. The proposal was put together and endorsed by the three chancellors of the universities. Their argument was, while each university would take large cuts, they would continue to maintain their ties to each individual community. UAS Chancellor Rick Caulfield says there would be a renewed focus on collaboration between the three campuses.
The integrated consortium model would build on retaining three separately accredited universities and a commitment from the chancellors and all of those involved with the leadership at those universities for dramatically enhancing the collaboration of academic programs and student services, shared business services.
The Regents and President Johnson expressed skepticism that an increase in collaboration would be as smooth as the chancellors proposed. Johnson says the board has called for increased collaboration in the past, with little success. A third proposal Regents didn't vote on came from the Dunleavy administration's Office of Management and Budget. The proposal would take place over 2 years and make targeted cuts to all three universities, including cuts to research, athletics, and the university-run Museum of the North. The proposal drew criticism from UA's accrediting body, the Northwest Commission on Colleges and Universities. The commission sent a letter to the Board of Regents on Monday describing the plan as a, quote, additional and perhaps inappropriate strong-arm guidance of the Alaska governor, end quote. The NWCCU says that the Dunleavy administration proposal could affect future accreditation for the University of Alaska. OMB Policy Director Mike Barnhill told Regents the proposal was a way for the state to enter the discussion on how to cut the university's budget. President Johnson says under any plan, it's likely that the cuts will have a ripple effect on enrollment and research. He says both are avenues that could result in less money for the university as a whole. A task force has been put together to determine how to move forward with the new single university model. In Anchorage, I'm Wesley Early.
Nearly a year after celebrating its completion, the University of Alaska Fairbanks has yet to bring its new power plant fully online. UAF Senior Project Manager Mike Ruckhaus says they're still working out glitches on the $245 million coal-fired plant.
We need to make some more adjustments and minor repairs. It's just time-consuming to do it much more than we thought.
Ruckhaus says the problems are not unusual for the complex facility he had targeted this spring to have up and running by mid-July.
So it looks now like our projected fully operational date is mid to late August.
Delays are pretty standard, according to Bill Kirkenier, Vice President of Power Supply for Golden Valley Electric Association. Kirkenier says he's overseen construction of many power plants, including facilities much larger than UAF's 17-megawatt plant.
The large power plants, we would be on site for 18 months to 24, or almost 2 years, to get a power plant started up and fully commissioned.
UAF's new facility is replacing the 57-year-old Atkinson power plant. The new facility will provide electricity and steam heat for the UAF campus, as well as power for sale to Golden Valley. The Alaska Marine Highway System has canceled sailings on 8 vessels into the first week of August. Coast Alaska reports that the ships remain tied up in port as an Inland Boatmen's Union of the Pacific strike enters its second week. Weekend talks between the IBU union and the state of Alaska over wages and health care costs ended without a breakthrough. The union had called the mediation talks, quote, productive and positive, unquote. IBU President Marina Secatano said Tuesday that the federal mediator was expected to return to Juneau last night, meaning negotiations could resume to settle the long-running contract dispute. Alaska Department of Administration Commissioner Kelly Shabaka says some of the union's demands aren't legal, and in a letter sent July 24th, the state warned IBU members that unlawful strikes aren't protected by law and they could be fired. The state says the ferry cancellations and refunds have been costing the system $200,000 a day. Hundreds of passengers were stranded after striking IBU members abruptly walked off the job. The last Alaska ferry strike was in 1977. I'm Dan Bross.